5 years ago, we interviewed people from all over the world for our 50th anniversary of ITB Berlin. The last 5 years have been incredibly exciting and challenging for the entire tourism industry. That's why, on the occasion of our 55th anniversary, we conducted interviews with the representatives of the time to find out how they have fared in the last 5 years since our last visit, how the pandemic has affected their work, and how they have dealt with it. Listen for yourself.
Welcome to the ITB Travel Hero podcast. I'm very happy to have somebody with me from India who 5 years ago also was part of the ITB's 50th anniversary campaign, and he also received one of these ITB Buddy Bears. So I'm very happy to have with me Prashant Nair, who was at that time the community activist, and he was really part of the Compassionate Cozy Code campaign. So Prashant, what are you doing today? How are you?
Thank you, Rika. It's a great pleasure to connect again after a long time, and you bring back the fond memories of ITB Berlin with you. Yeah, right now I'm in still in the tourism sector, connected with the government of Kerala here. We are into water-based stuff right now, boating, cruise vessels, and all the like. I've moved on from my earlier place. I was in Kozhikode, where we ran this community-based tourism-linked, at the same time, compassionate projects, which wanted to make the place a better place to live, actually, give that experience to people who visit there as well. So, of course, I'm trying to do the same here, but on a different scale and different style, perhaps, because we are...
Yeah, but, more, I mean, what happened during Corona? I mean, how's the situation in Kozhikode, and how is its situation in Calicut? And how's the situation in Kochi, where you're now? Because, you know, as a governmental person, you have been transferred to Kochi?
Yes, yes. I work with the government, so my responsibilities keep changing. So I earlier was in Kozhikode, right now I'm in Kochi. But the fact is, the last 2 years have been quite challenging to everyone, especially so those who are in the system within the government, where we also have to take care of the citizens. There's a lot of responsibility placed on us as officials also to develop and take up a lot of responsibilities which we otherwise were not really expected to do.
And India was hit very hard, but Kerala was doing a little bit better than in general.
Yes, in general, the health standards, the facilities are really better in Kerala, and the health standards and even Human Development Index is compared to Europe. So yeah, we do have an advantage, but then the economy. Economy, how it affected, how it impacted, how the travel industry got impacted. International arrivals really got affected. So those things really had a negative thing. But I think at the end of the day, we all have to find a silver line. We have to move on. And I think all of us have discovered something or the other.
What have you discovered in that time?
We have. In fact, I have personally discovered a lot of things, things which otherwise I wouldn't have noticed. If people around us who really needed help, who really needed a bit of compassionate, I won't say assistance, but collaboration. And also, I discovered that I really didn't need so much. The requirements to be happy and contented and to live a quality life is not not to be greedy and not to accumulate a lot. You can give away and still be happy, and I think that is a policy, that is a philosophy which many of us have learned over the last 2 years, and I think that is going to guide us in the future as well, because this is not the last crisis that we are going to face. We'll have a lot more to come. Humanity will have to face more. But then I think these lessons which we learn, which are mental lessons, I would say, which is not anything to do with technology or anything to do with the external.
But also, traveling was not possible because of Corona, and now it started already also in India. It's mainly domestic tourism. So how did Kerala or Kochi or where you're working now, how is Kerala in general, you know, southern India, very famous for houseboats, for very green, luxury scenery. So how is Kerala getting prepared? Are you already prepared for the domestic tourism, and how are you getting prepared for the international tourism?
I think there is something called revenge tourism happening right now. People are getting out with revenge. We were locked down. We couldn't move around. Now let me move around. So whatever is possible, they are doing immediately. So that's why we are having the domestic tourism in a big way. There is a lot of demand. Lots of resorts and homestays are being filled up locally. Usually it used to come from outside, but right now you find a lot of local population moving around it. Whatever is possible, you know, within the restrictions and all that. And I'm sure that the levels, the standards, the hygiene factor, all these things have actually gone up. We have improved, we have learned, we have imbibed a lot of things, which will only make the experience of an international traveler better. I think, like, for instance, you know, earlier, you know, the things like basic hygiene, social distancing, the, you know, cleanliness. Of course, Kerala was known for all these things compared to other parts of Asia. But even then, let me tell you, we have taken it a notch higher, I guess. There is a lot of medical literacy, I'll say. You know, the literacy, which was, you know, the medical knowledge that was not with common people, that is there right now. We are aware of the ways in a pandemic or any disease actually gets communicated. So I think a safer, better, healthier alternative is there. And since Kerala also focuses on health tourism and wellness tourism, I think it matters a lot, because the experience of a traveler in Kerala would be now really phenomenally good.
So is it already safe to come for Ayurveda treatment, or can I decide now to go there, would it be possible?
Sure, definitely. Why not? In fact, during the second wave, rather immediately after the first wave, I had a Ayurvedic treatment for almost 2 weeks, and it was a great experience. You know, I just had to check in, and the doctors, all of them, were locked in there. They had taken their RT-PCR test and all that stuff, and they were locked in there for the same period. So they would take turns. Every half a month, they would change their duty, and otherwise they would also be locked up there. And we also wouldn't have opportunity to go out and all. But otherwise, everything was taken care inside the campus. So it was a great experience.
That would be a great idea then for like staying long time, because Ayurveda, if you stay even 1 month or 2 months, is perfect for you, for your body, for your soul. But you could even stay long time and work like a mobile office. That's a new option, really, for many of these countries. So
now you have so much of this work from home happening. I think you should just shift your home to Kerala. You just shift over here, work. You can have the work at the same time. You can have this Ayurvedic treatment. You can have a veil of your time, enjoy, relax. And, you know, I think at the end of the whole holiday experience, you are going refreshed. Instead of, you know, getting holed up in your apartment and having a boring work from home.
And there's visa program, sorry?
No, I don't think those things have been eased right now. Lots of visa on arrival, lots of things have come, except for when there are guidelines issued by the WHO or anything like that. Otherwise, things are far, far easier. Now, compared to most countries, India has eased up arrivals. It's not that tough any longer.
Yeah, because in Europe, there are a lot of people start, giving visas for digital nomads, especially, because they really say that there's an opportunity in doing that. And I could just imagine myself doing Ayurveda and working for ITB.
Yeah, please. I strongly suggest you come to Kerala, work from here.
Okay. So has, except now for staying also during the pandemic in a Ayurveda retreat, for the future, which are your plans for the future? I mean, there is a lot of adventure tourism also in Kerala. So have you developed these products?
Yeah, actually, Kerala is known for a laid-back kind of a holiday where you could relax. You could have, even honeymoon couples coming and enjoying themselves. But the job in which I'm right now, I'm heading a corporation under the government of Kerala, which is more into water-related tourism. So we have cruise liners. We also have adventure tourism, related water tourism, actually. So we are in the process of designing a fleet of floating restaurants right now. These are the things on which we are working right now. So these things will come out in the coming year. Floating restaurants and also lots of adventure-related stuff, water sports-related stuff. Because Kerala, has a fabulous coastline and also lots of backwaters. And all of this offer opportunity to bring in activities. I think that is one focus area which we are working on right now. And I think even during the pandemic, we supplied, 10-20 FRP constructed boats for various tourism destinations across Kerala. Apart from, ski boats and all that other stuff, which we don't really know. But I think a lot of things are going to happen. Even during the pandemic, we have been working on improving the infrastructure when it comes to tourism, especially related to water sector.
Thank you, Prasant. And Prasant, as you are, you were always very engaged in social responsibility, corporate social responsibility, and giving back to the people and having a fair society. So when you say you're developing now new boats and new boats are coming up, how sustainable is it?
Very good question, Rika. Actually, the way we are trying to structure is we procure, we give, make the supply, but we want the local players, local people to take part of, take over and run this so that it makes an impact in their life as well. For instance, we have a huge coastline and, the fishermen, the fisher folk, they are the ones who, most of them who reside by the seaside, and if you have observed, you'll find that there is a lot to be achieved when it comes to community development in this segment of population. Especially, in every other segment of population, in every other community, you'll find that the subsequent generation is shifting and moving to value-added, better jobs or whatever. Here we find that's not happening to the fullest extent possible. So what we are trying to do is give them a pie out of the tourism, cake as well. So the next generation who are educated, who actually could interact, who could work as guides, who could act as interpreters, who could be entrepreneurs, they would be encouraged to, form societies, cooperative societies, or, their own companies to take over and run these boats, which we will be supplying to the tourism. We have got this DTPC, as they say, the District Tourism Development Councils. So through them, we could be engaging some of these youngsters and make sure that they get a livelihood and also a change, a perceptible change in their standard of life as well. So as you rightly said, we are still at this kind of experiments where we are able to make an impact on them. Lives of the people. So there is also an element of responsible tourism in it. Unless the local economy is involved, unless the local people make get a benefit, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and will they be also resilient? I mean, we all hope there won't be, fingers crossed, any other pandemic like we had this time. But you were also taking care. I hope that this will be like that they can stay resilient. I mean, even if tourists are not coming, they should not be reliant on it. So they should not be starving. But they still do their fishing, right? I mean, it's not that the fishers stopped fishing and
That's very important. Yeah, you're right. And also, you know, their fishing skills also get portrayed better. You know, they get a better income for the catch which they make, because when it becomes a tourism product, when it gets connected to a tourism product, the income also does make a difference. And most importantly, they are not forced to put in capital investment because we are taking that burden. So otherwise, you know, if they were asked to start off with a boat, to purchase a boat, construct a boat, and then take that business risk, it's very unfair on them. So that's also not happening here. We do that. What we are trying to do is encourage them, train them, and make them equipped to, you know, run this. So that's the whole idea.
Thank you. And the boats themselves, I mean, they are also environmentally okay?
Oh, that's a good question. We are trying to move to solar boats in a big way. And that's another thing which we are planning to do this year. Solar and also CNG fuel, which is far more, you know, green, as they say. So that's also something which we are doing this year. So hopefully most of these boats would be either completely solar or hybrid, except a few, the smaller boats, which may not be viable otherwise.
That's a good practice. It will be best one of the best practice examples. You know, that's good if you proceed like that.
Also, the restaurants which I mentioned earlier, the floating restaurants, we are providing them with solar toppings. So that's also going to run on solar energy.
Great. So on a personal note, what are your biggest learnings from the last 3 years? You already said that you are really, that you could come down, that you understood that you need less maybe, but which are the learnings for the future? What will you change in your life? What will you change in things you want to change maybe for Kerala? Are there any things which haven't been said yet?
I think one thing, which is a corollary from what I said earlier, is to stop or at least reduce being critical. I think that is something very important we all need to do. We don't know what the other person is going through. All of us need to be very considerate and compassionate about the other person, what the hell he is going through. We really don't know. So not to find fault, not to find or not to be too critical of others, is something which I will take as a learning for the rest of my life, actually. Be it policymakers, be it anyone with whom we are interacting. There's lots of difficulties through which everyone is going through, and not everyone is perfect, and neither am I. So I think a bit of a philosophy would do a lot of good in making our life better. You know, be it business, be it your day-to-day life, be your family life, whatever it is, I think, being less critical and being more understanding and considerate is one big learning. And not being too greedy, not trying to amass everything for yourself, and be willing to share. At the end of the day, you don't know when you're going to die. So there's no point hoarding all this stuff for yourself. Please share and be happy in the moment which you have right now. So I think that is what I really wish people understood, and I wish I continue to, you know, practice this than merely saying this.
Yeah, no, so nothing can be taken for granted. Yeah, that's right. So that's very nice, Prasanth. I think I'm afraid the time is running, and so we cannot continue our conversation, but I hope we will continue our conversation at ITB Berlin next year or in Kerala. I mean, there are a lot of options.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to seeing you. I really wish you are able to come down to Kerala at the earliest, and maybe we'll catch up again in Berlin as well.
Yeah. I think ITB Berlin will be open with open arms for everybody again next year. You know, this year we will only be able to do it digitally once again. But next year, it's like everybody can enjoy the company, you know, and the networking. And that's so important that we do not lose the contact even in these times. So thank you, Prasad, for being with us. And thank you. Next time, maybe after 5 years, we will see the buddy bear walking again, walking together.
Okay. Thank you, Rika. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone. Bye.